You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now on today's show, in the first segment, I will discuss Aaron Loop signing with the Los Angeles Angels. Should the Mets have done more to retain their best reliever from this past season? Then for the rest of the show, I'll talk about the interest the Mets have in another left-handed pitcher. This one is very familiar to Mets fans, Steven Matz. Could he be coming back to Queens? I'll discuss all of that throughout today's show. But before we get to any of that, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. I also write about baseball in general and just made our all MLB breakout team. It's a really cool piece. I encourage you to check that out. I'll be posting it today on Twitter again at Finkelstein Ryan. Let's talk about Aaron Loop though. So he signs a 2-year, $17 million deal with the Los Angeles Angels. He's now teammates with Noah Syndergaard. And the one thing I'll say is it is very frustrating that the Angels keep on dipping into this well and taking Mets pitchers. Are they going to sign Stroman next? Apparently they got some interest. It is getting annoying, I'm sure, to all you Mets fans to once again be like, okay, where'd Loop go? Check notes. Oh, LA to the Angels. Maybe the one team you don't want him to go to if it's not signing to a division rival at this point. But when we talk about this deal, the Mets signed Loop to a 1-year, $3 million contract last offseason. So if you consider what that was then to what he just signed now after a single season as a reliever, I am not too upset about this. No matter how great that season was, the reliever market is the most volatile in the sport. You have no idea what you're going to get. I remember the Mets signing Anthony Swarzak. I remember the Mets trading for J.J. Putz. I remember all of these different moves the Mets have made in the past that don't pan out. And sometimes it's the $3 million deal you give to Aaron Loop that works out. It's trading for Addison Reed off waivers. That works out. So finding the next diamond in the rough is more important, in my opinion, than paying the reliever who just showed you what they can do. If you're talking about a Liam Hendricks last offseason, if you're talking about the established closer, I get shelling out the big bucks. But Aaron Loop, as a guy that used to be a loogie, now because of that rule with the 3-batter minimum, he is showing he can get right-handed batters out as well, but I just am not going to get too broken up about the fact that the Mets are missing out on another season of Aaron Loop. He was great. Don't get me wrong. He was their best reliever this year, but I don't see what he does and view it as sustainable as a pitcher like Edwin Diaz when it just comes to the raw stuff. Now, Diaz has struggled commanding his pitches at times. He's given up too many home runs. He gets himself in trouble. I'm not saying that Loop isn't better or wasn't better than Diaz was this past season, but I look at a reliever that's in his 30s, and I'm just not going to be too broken up about him getting a big payday elsewhere when the Mets have a lot that they got to address this offseason. And I really did think about going negative on Aaron Loop and talking about how his xFIP was a lot, you know, bigger than his ERA was, because that ERA was not sustainable. He's not going to pitch to a sub-1 ERA again in his career. I'm pretty confident to bet on that. And there's also a stat that CBS Sports keeps called inherited runners allowed. Now, the reason why I had to go to CBS Sports to find it is because no one is tracking inherited runners allowed, which is really weird to me, because you talk about a reliever that comes in with runners on base, runners that are accounted to him, and you kind of want to know how he does stranding those runners. And Aaron Loop had the reputation of stranding a ton of runners this past year. CBS Sports had him as the second worst in the National League. And I just don't know if I buy it, because it's CBS Sports. And I could have taken the time to go through every single game log of the 65 appearances that Aaron Loop has to try to poke holes in his free agency and poke holes and try to drag him down. But then I thought, what am I really doing here? No matter what I found there, it's not going to change this situation. I don't believe that Aaron Loop allowed, I think they said 47 inherited runners allowed. I just can't see that. He only allowed 6 earned runs all season. So I just don't buy CBS Sports on that one. And again, if I dove in and looked at each game, maybe you would have found that his ERA should have been something closer to the 3.3 and change that his xFIP was. If you just consider all of the inherited runners that maybe were on first base when Loop came into the game and then he gave up a couple of hits and the run came around and scored, and it doesn't get credited to him, but you can say it might have been more his fault than the other pitcher. It would have been a negligible amount to even dive into that. And I just decided, you know what? Let's just focus on the fact that he had a great year with the Mets and he is going to be a big loss, but I just don't think that this is a loss you can't stomach. I think that you can find other relievers on the market. You can try to find the value signings, and that's probably a smarter way to allocate your resources. And according to reporting from Manny Martino, what the Mets decided was that they were trying to focus more on the starting pitching market, and they were okay with Loop walking. As long as you add a couple of starters here, that's more important. Honestly, you talk about how many starts you're going to get from your rotation members, and really, we're getting to the point where front offices are focused more on innings. So you're going to get more innings out of a quality starting pitcher than you're going to get out of a reliever who at most is going to give you, what, 70 innings? But if you get a good starting pitcher, that's 150 quality innings as you're trying to compute out your season, figure out the math, and how you can keep the other team off the board as much as possible. Right now, if you look at the Mets bullpen, they still have Edwin Diaz. They still likely have Miguel Castro. You still have Drew Smith. You still have, I should have done my research beforehand. This is off the top of my head, and I'm trying to remember all the different free agents that the Mets have. Trevor Williams as a swingman is going to factor in. I feel like I'm missing I knew I was missing a big one. There was one name I was looking for. Let's see if you Mets fans, I'm going to give you a second to try to catch up. Who am I forgetting about that is clearly a huge name for the Mets next season? It's the big addition they had last offseason, Trevor May. So between Trevor May, Edwin Diaz, Miguel Castro, you got the semblance of a back end of your bullpen. You got to add a couple of more arms. Absolutely. I like Drew Smith. I like some of the young pitching that is starting to rise to the surface. There's a couple of guys that will get added to the 40 that I think are interesting. So we will see how the Mets ultimately shake out their depth. They need to add a ton of pitching. They're going to have to add relievers. But right now, I still look at the starting pitching market as a more important need to tackle. And that is where we get to Steven Matz, who could be coming back to the New York Mets. Do we want him back? Do we not want him back? Fans are pretty divided on this one. I'll give you my take in just a minute. BetOnline is back and better than ever, now featuring a new web interface for the start of the basketball season with more props, odds, and lines available than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using our promo code LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, and you got your neighbor's best friends logging in for the other good stuff you're missing? Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So could we see number 32, Steven Matz, back in a Mets uniform? I never thought I'd see the day. I really didn't. This is just fascinating. So Steven Matz, right now, highly coveted. And like a lot of starting pitchers, he wants to get a deal done now. You've seen just a bunch of pitchers fly off the board. Most recently, the Giants added Anthony DeSclafani or brought him back. They also signed Alex Wood. Teams are jumping all over starting pitching before we get to the end of the CBA and a potential shutdown, or let's not even say potential, till we get to the league shutdown. So this is the market that you have to jump on, and Steven Matz is garnering a ton of interest. Right now, he reportedly has 8 formal offers, the Mets being one of them, although the reported teams interested in Steven Matz include the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Angels. Really? Come on. Get your own players. It is getting ridiculous. The New York Angels out here just trying to poach all the talent. I know he's not a Met technically anymore, but come on. Steven Matz, at this stage in his career, after pitching just 1 year with the Blue Jays, I'd say he's more of a Met than a Blue Jay, and the Angels just can't get enough. I don't know what they're thinking. Are they really upset about Billy Epler or something? I don't know. And I was actually going to make an argument today that why should we worry about Aaron Loop and Noah Syndergaard signing with the Angels? They always strike out in free agency. They always, or shouldn't say strike out, they always make mistakes in free agency, and there's just a couple more mistakes. But then I thought, wait a minute. The Mets just hired Billy Epler. Is that the argument I want to be making right now? Well, I don't know. I don't know if it is. But anyway, getting back to Matz, along with those teams I mentioned, the Tigers, the Cubs, and the Giants, that's 9 teams interested. Apparently, he has 8 offers. So we'll see here. And the Mets, like I said, have already given him a formal offer. Here is the thing. Steven Matz, I thought, benefited from a change of scenery. He was terrible in 2020. There's no other way to look at it. The guy was simply awful. He gave up 14 home runs and 30 and two-thirds innings pitch, a 9.68 ERA. The one thing I'll say is I am closer to throwing out all the stats from 2020 than I am taking any of them seriously, because in that same season, Michael Conforto and Dominic Smith were like top 10 hitters in baseball, and they certainly weren't that in 2021. It goes both ways. Andrés Giménez looked amazing in 2020. The Mets traded him at the right time, by the way, to get Francisco Lindor. He couldn't even hang at the big league level in 2021. So it is really hard to look at those numbers at face value. And if you look at the home run to fly ball rate for Steven Matz that year, it was at 37.8%. For context, for his career, his home run to fly ball ratio, 16.4%. This past season, best mark since his rookie year, 12.3%, which helps explain that 3.82 ERA he had. His 3.94 xFIP indicates that that 3.82 ERA is legit. xFIP, of course, is expected fielding independent pitching, trying to remove all the other factors like park factors and others to differentiate what a pitcher should have pitched to and what you would expect them to pitch to in future seasons. So again, 3.94, very close to that 3.82 ERA he actually put up. His F4 was 2.8. That would have been the third best WAR on the Mets this season when it comes to the rotation, right behind Marcus Stroman at 3.4 and Jacob DeGrom just, how did Jacob DeGrom put up the WAR he put up in such a short amount of time? Regardless, Steven Matz is a very quality starting pitcher at this point. Is he an ace? Absolutely not. Is he a frontline starter? No, but for a middle of the rotation guy, Steven Matz has value. And if you go back to 2019, we're talking about a change of scenery and how that benefited Steven out in Toronto. To say he can't pitch in New York is a little funny, because his last full season in 2019, all he did was pitch great in New York. He had a 2.31 ERA at Citi Field. When he went on the road, he had a 6.62 ERA. The first half in 2019, he had a 4.89 ERA. Then he rounded it to form and had a 3.52 ERA in the second half. I will say that first half ERA was significantly inflated because he had one start in Philly where he gave up 8 runs, 6 of them earned, without recording an out. So those numbers got skewed. But overall, Steven Matz had a quality last full season with the Mets. Then he had the disaster. They shipped him out, and he pitched really well at the Blue Jays heading into free agency. Now he's going to try to capitalize on this market. I don't know what it is, though. We haven't seen any reported figures. I don't know if he's looking at an E-Rod deal. I doubt it, because Eduardo Rodriguez had much better expected pitching metrics. His strikeouts were on a different level than Steven. I think he had over 10 strikeouts per 9. So there's more upside with Eduardo Rodriguez than there is with Steven Matz. So I don't think you're talking about 5 years, $77 million, which is what E-Rod got with the Tigers. So if it's something below that, maybe it's less years, maybe a 3-year deal. And if the average annual value comes in, I would guess maybe around 15. And this is just off the top of my head, trying to figure out what his market would be. This is interesting. It's an interesting signing for the New York Mets. I'm not saying this is the first name that came to mind when I was looking at how the Mets could address their rotation. But if you're trying to add depth, the Mets could do a lot worse than Steven Matz. And there is still that little piece in every Mets fan's heart where you like your homegrown guys. And to see one come back, personally, I'd be excited. I'd be excited to see number 32 step on the mound at Citi Field. But is it the best move? That is where we're looking here. What should the Mets do? I thought the change in scenery helped, but I also think that could be overblown. If Steven Matz wants to return to the Mets, what does that say about the change of scenery? If he loved his time with the Mets and wants to be a Met again, shouldn't we take that at face value a little bit more than just looking at a 2020 season when he was terrible? Because again, his home stats in 2019 indicate he can pitch in New York, and that's not the problem. Also, his shortened season, there's no fans. The pressure wasn't quite there. I think he was just a pitcher completely thrown out of whack with the way that season unfolded and just never felt comfortable. But if you look at who Steven's been over his last three full seasons, 2018, 2019, 2021, he has been a pretty consistent pitcher. He's pitched about 150 innings every year, altogether 465. You combine his stats, he has a 4.01 ERA in those three seasons with an 8.69 strikeout per 9 rate, a 2.96 walk per 9 rate, and a 1.31 whip. Again, if you're talking about your fourth or fifth starter, very solid. I look at Steven Matz heading into next season, and I'm as confident that he'll have a good year as I am in Taijuan Walker. So if you're talking about building out the floor of your rotation, trying to raise that floor, Matz makes sense. And again, based on his recent history, you can count on the health a little more of Steven Matz, which we couldn't say earlier on in his career. And that's important for this Mets rotation. So when I look at all of it, I can be convinced that this is the right move based on how much money he gets. Because if a Steven Matz signing prevents you from bringing back Marcus Stroman, I don't necessarily love it. But if you bring back those two pitchers who competed against each other in high school, grew up together, I think played together on the same travel team, if Stroman and Matz come back and that's how you address your rotation this offseason, little golf clap for Billy Epler there. I'm okay with that. I'm okay going into next year if you get both those guys and you have a rotation that is Jacob deGrom, Carlos Carrasco, and Marcus Stroman as your highest upside guys with Taijuan Walker and Steven Matz. Sounds pretty good from the jump. Then you still have David Peterson, you have Tylor McGill, you have Trevor Williams, and maybe you add another depth signing. Apparently, according to Martino, the Mets wanted three starters. I don't know if that is 100% realistic, but if Steve Cohen's paying for it, I guess anything is realistic. The last thing I'll say is this. You cannot discount players wanting to sign for your team. Can't discount that. all the time, we just think of it as a transaction, as just, if you want player X, give him amount of money Y, and then Z, he's there. That is not how this works. And Steven Matz, if he wants to be a Met, that's a good thing. Because there's not a ton of people that want to be a Met right now. There wasn't a lot of executives that wanted to be a Met. Noah Syndergaard, we thought he wanted to be a Met. Then he decided he wanted to be an Angel after having a meeting with their GM and after being a little upset that the Mets didn't call him for 2 weeks. So if you have a pitcher that wants to come back and it's for the right price, I say bring him back. And the one other thing, I'll actually leave you with this. It would be kind of nice to get to enjoy a little bit more time with one of the pitchers that was part of that vaunted 2015 rotation. Because you're left right now with just Jacob DeGrom, and considering the hype of the Mets in the World Series with that group, that is a tough pill to swallow. So it would be cool if Matt signed a 3-year deal and pitched well in a Mets uniform and maybe rewrote the narrative of his Mets tenure. I think that's certainly possible for Matt to pull off. And oh yeah, also it would be cool you still have those prospects that you traded for, or you traded to get by giving up Steven Matz. If you have Kalili and Steven Matz on the same roster, that's pretty cool as well. Anyway, though, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. You can find Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts.